Hello and welcome to Coco Pods Podcast. Today we're very fortunate to have Lillian. Of course, we've changed the name. This is a pseudonym. And she's going to talk to us about her journey, her experience with relationships, marriage, actually. And so, Lillian, welcome to Coco Pods Podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
So, you know, you told us about your journey with your partner now.
Yeah.
And about some of the difficulties that you guys had and that you guys married early. Can you just tell us about, you know, how, you know, you first got together and the problems that you guys had?
Yeah. So we got together in college very young, on 17, 18, went to college together, just got married at 22, 23, young. And then that's when the experience of marriage happened, as I like to call it. Everything was, you know, bloom, you're 18, 17 in love, and well, think you in love. And so that's when the marriage happened, after the wedding was over. I like to say that the wedding was over, because, you know, we get the glitz and glams and oh, you know, your wedding so beautiful, I want my wedding to be like this and be like that. And now marriage happened. So marriage happened very early on. And our marriage, I want to say, right after marriage, actually. But it's crazy, because signs will show way before then. But we choose to ignore the signs. And honestly, I got married for stability. I didn't get married because of love. I was never taught that. I was taught to get married and get someone that would take care of you. Don't, you know, love will come. That's what I was told. And so I got married the wrong way, you know. And so I got married for stability, not saying I didn't love him, but the love that he should have gotten from me, being saying I do and this is the one, you know, you made your vows in front of God. It should have been more than what I was giving. And I found that out later on, as I had, God had to deal with me and sit me in a quiet room with myself to, you know, reflect on me. And I had to reflect on me. He showed me me, and I had to realize that.
Okay. So, you know, the initial years, you know, you guys were together, you guys actually had two kids, but then there were problems that made you actually leave the relationship.
Yes. So very early on, as I said, the signs was there, but I choose to ignore. So my problems was infidelity very early on. Infidelity, insecurities, as they say, men don't grow up until they whatever age. And he just wouldn't want to grow. And I was growing. And so infidelity started real early with us. I want to say not even a year of being married, it happened.
And that was with him?
With him.
Okay. And so you said you had a little private detective thing going on there.
Yeah. Girl, I was a private detective. I was a police officer. I was everything. So how I found out, well, of course, the signs was always there, your women intuition. But it was early on, like women would call the house or call his phone, and he would say, oh, no, that's just a friend, or, you know, oh, no, or he'd staying out late than usual. You know, and I was young, so I was just like, oh, well, maybe he's at the club. I don't want to. You know, we had the baby young, so maybe he just wanted to still party, you know, not my naive thinking. And but I knew something, but I didn't know. So when I started being the detective, as I like to call it, going through the phones and notice his patterns, like, okay, every time he leave, he always take his phone, or, oh, he's locking his phone more often, or he's staying out more often, or why he's always leaving to go talk on the phone. So when I started noticing that, I was like, oh, something is going on. So, yeah, that's when I knew he was cheating, having affairs.
And you said you confronted him with this, like, you know, angrily and stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah. So I confronted him with it early on. And, of course, it was always, I'm sorry. And my husband was a gift giver. And he if he did something wrong, here go buy a gift, you know, flowers or a card or a car, anything to say my sorry gift. So, and I, as young as I was, I accepted it. And growing up, how I grew up, I saw that pattern. I saw those toxicity, as I like to call it, or dysfunction family, as in the husband, grandpa was cheating. My dad was doing that too. And my mom used to just pray. We'll just pray about it. So I, as I saw that, I was like, well, maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. So that's what I started doing. Just grabbing his hand every time I catch him on the phone or catch something, grab his hand and just say, well, we're going to work it out. That's okay. And we'll pray. And about 2 weeks, he'll be fine. And then he'll get right back at it. It was just a pattern. It was a pattern. It went on for years.
Wow. And so did you like reach out to, well, you said you talked to your mom, but did mm-hmm. you reach out to anybody like counseling or church or family members? Or?
No, because mm-hmm. I was one, embarrassed, two, growing up in my family home, that, you know, you don't tell people your business for one, and then two, counseling and stuff wasn't an option. You don't need counseling, was your Jesus. Jesus is your counseling. So that's what I was doing. And I was like, Mom, this is not working. Not saying Jesus ain't doing what he's supposed to do. But no, you don't need to tell people your business. You know, whatever goes on in your house goes on in your house and things like that. That's what just men do. Men do that. But that was my grandmother. Now, Mom was married. My mom was married for 16 years to my dad, and she experienced it as well.
60 years.
16.
16.
16 years. Okay. She had me at 16. So I really grew up with mommy. And so they got divorced in her 30s, and I was 18. So I saw the same patterns, same thing my dad was doing. I seen my husband was doing, and I recognized the patterns early on. Only thing I didn't see was the fight in my mom. I saw her being submissive, kept going back. And I thought, well, I guess that's what you're supposed to do. You pray about it and you get back together. I guess this is what marriage is about. And until that day, when I finally left and I told my mom and she had that heart to heart talk. And that's when I realized, oh, that's not what she wanted to do. And she explained to me, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do for the kids or for that moment until you gather your thoughts to figure out how to leave, like get an exit. So that's why she stayed. So we had that heart to heart moment at, I want to say about 10 years in the marriage. That's when I had enough. And I told him, no, I found out about he was just, mom had a slight heart attack. Mom did. Mom had breast cancer twice. And then she had a slight heart attack, just stress. She's already divorced dad at this time. And me and my husband was just going through it. And mom went to the hospital and I was just livid. You know, I wasn't working and trying to find a job with two kids. He was working. He's always been a breadwinner. And we've always been good stability wise. So I was like, oh, I'm okay. I was a housewife. So I finally had that conversation with my mom was sick. And so I went to the hospital to be with her. And when I realized, like I came home one day and I was just exhausted being a mother, because I lost myself being a wife, being a mother, just lost my identity, you know. Because I was so much catering to him, trying to be his everything, because I couldn't fathom, like, why are you cheating? I cook, I clean, you know, I don't do this. I'm the perfect wife. I pray, I go to church. Why, you know? And I couldn't figure it out until later on. So, but it's good that I had that talk with mama, after she had, when she went through, and I called my husband. She was in the hospital. And I said, I'm done. We need to talk. And he's like, well, I'm done and I'm leaving. I'm like, what? I said, well, you don't come to my house. You're not coming in this house late. If you come to this house late, we're done. So he did it anyway. So, and usually when he does that, I still take him back. You know, we'll fight, fuss, and we'll come back. But that particular time, I was done. It was 10 years. So I was like, I'm not going another 10 years. And I was like, we're done. And he said, well, fine. And when he said fine, it's kind of like, you got somebody else. Because usually he'll say, no, let's talk about it. Remember, he was a gift giver. He'll just give gifts, sorry gifts. And I was so used to the pattern. But then when he said fine, I'm like, oh, you got somebody. But it didn't register because I still had to take him mom. I still had to be a mom. And I had to still be there for everyone else. You know, as women, we wear many hats. We're sister, counselor, mother. We're housekeeper. We're, you know, we're chefs. We're everything to everyone. And at that moment, I was like, I can't be that. Just wife to you. I have to be everything to mama at the time. So, yeah. So once he left, it was like, bang, you know, okay, he know, or do I know? You know, it was confusing. Like, did he know I'm tired, or is it my fault this time? Is he really going to be there? But I can't focus on that because mom in the hospital, you know? And so once mom got out the hospital, I called him and he made it seem, he was a manipulator. He made it seem like it was my fault, you know? And so I tried everything still as a wife to say, oh, let me pray. Let's pray. Here go me again. Let's pray. Not saying nothing wrong with praying, but oh, let's pray. Let's come together and do this. And then that's when we went to counseling. And in the counseling, he told the counselor it was my fault. I didn't want to do this. I was this. I was that. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know, is it me? That's why he's doing these things. Not knowing at the time he was always with another woman. He was with this woman, but I didn't know, but he was putting it out on me like it's my fault. And he's just single. He's staying in a hotel. But all the while we're in counseling, everything, he was with another woman, staying with her at the time.
Wow. That must have been shameful for you.
Mm-hmm. It was shameful. And how I found out that he was with the other woman, I let go after 2-3 months. He wasn't home. He left, and I kept calling him. He didn't answer, and it was change for my kids because they so used to seeing him every day. For not seeing him every day, they was running track at the time. My oldest, and he used to go pick him up and, you know, help him with homework, and he just stopped. He just stopped, and they didn't know what's going on. They're young.
And this is their dad.
That's their dad. Mm. Yep. They didn't know what was going on. Like, what happened to dad? And I couldn't explain it. Family coming over, asking where he is. And my scapegoat was, he's in the military. So, oh, he went to drill, or he went on vacation, or he went away with the military. So that was my scapegoat for 6 months.
Because of the shame.
Because of the shame. I didn't want no one to know. Didn't want to tell my mom. But mom knew. She was waiting on me. So once she got well and everything, 6 months passed, and no, still he was doing the same thing. And let me put that out there. Still didn't know he was with that woman. Still didn't know he was staying with her. But God was bringing dreams to me. Okay. And he was bringing dreams. One dream I had was I was dreaming. I was in my house, but my house was full of snakes. Right. And I'm like, oh my God, you know. But this one snake, it was a man in the house getting the snakes. He said, oh, you got a lot of snakes. He said, but you got one in your private area, right? And he pulled that snake out of my private area. And I woke up and I was like, what was that? You know, Jesus, you know, what is going on? Somebody around me that's evil. You know, immediately I started praying because I do believe in Jesus and the devil. Once that dream came about and I said, well, God, what is that? What is that about? And then every time my husband started coming around, he started back answering the phone. And I was like, well, why are you not answering the phone? You say you're in the hotel. Still my shame and still my
denial.
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, I'm at the hotel with my friend. And I called the friend. And the friend said, he's never stayed with me. He said, I'm not going to be in it. And I told him, this is his guy friend, best friend. He said, nope, he has not been with me. He has never stayed with me. And I said, oh, okay. He's like, no, he said, I don't. He said, no, this is what he told me. He said, you know your husband better than me. He said, you tell me. And that was like that denial, because what he was saying was, you already know your husband cheats. So I don't need to tell you what's going on, kind of thing. And but I didn't have any evidence. You know, because he wasn't there. I couldn't go through phones. I didn't know where he was. He, you know, communication was short. You talking about somebody he's been married to for 10 years and all of a sudden all communication just cut off. You know, you're not talking every day. I mean, he just went ghost. He went ghost on the children. the children, they confused. My baby was about 9 or 10 at the time. So he was confused. The oldest 9 or 10. So the baby was about 4, about 6, I want to say 6. So they're confused. They don't know what's going on. I'm in denial. I'm in shame. And God was just giving me that dreams, and he's giving me stuff, you know. I wasn't working, and so I had to find a job, and then I start finding a job in healthcare, and I found a job in healthcare, and I was doing good, and God told me to start praying. I heard was him just say, pray, and I'm like, I want to leave. So I got angry. I got bitter, but it was also a sense of relief, like, oh, finally, I can let him go. Finally, we can get a divorce. But I was also bitter. And I was like, God, why I'm bitter? He's not here. I don't have to deal with this anymore. I can get a divorce. So I filed for divorce. And my mom called me one morning. And she said, hey. She called me every morning at 6. I said, hey. And she said, what's wrong? I said, oh, nothing is wrong. She said, something is wrong. I'm on my way. I was like, Mom, nothing is wrong. She said, something is wrong. So she came over. She sat down on the couch and she said, what's wrong? And I told her. It just came out. And she said, I knew. And she said, this is what's going to happen. That woman, she's going to call you. Your husband's going to say he's sorry. He never want to be with her. This is going to happen. She just gave me the downplay.
Like a blueprint.
This is going to happen. And I was like, okay.
Like a playbook.
This is what's going to happen. And I kid you not, it happened the exact same way, Mom, happened. Not immediately, but it happened the exact same way. So the dreams kept coming. After I had that conversation with Mom, dreams kept coming. So finally, he started calling back, right, and answering the phone because I got a job now. And I was like, listen, I get off. I need you to get the kids. And he was like, okay, you know. So he started getting the kids. But when I get off work, it's just like an exchange. We're so awkward. And I remember one day when I was getting off and he was leaving out the house, he stopped me and he said, can you pray for me? And I was like, why? He's like, I need for you to pray for me. And we prayed together outside of the house. And that same day I entered inside of the house and I looked down our hallway and I seen an entity, literally an entity, a person. In my hallway. And I was, of course, scared. Who wouldn't be scared? You think you see somebody. And I'm like, Lord, now I know I believe in you and the enemy, but I know I ain't seen no ghost or no demon in my house. Of course, you hear about these things on TV and people talk about it on radio or whatever. But me seeing it for myself, I said, something is wrong. And I remember calling my mom and I told her, and she was like, girl, you know. And I shared it with my husband, and his exact word was, oh, they're coming for me. They're coming from me. And I'm like, what does that mean? You know, what are you talking about? And so I was scared to sleep in my own home for 2 days out of the week. I stayed at my mom's house because I was scared to sleep in my home. I've seen these entities every time my husband leaves my house.
Where were the children?
They're in their bedrooms, sleep. Because I got off about 12 at night.
So when you stay at your mom's house, mm-hmm. You take them with you?
Mom go picks them up from school while I go to work. And they'll stay there. And then I leave work and go stay with Mom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was a time. And then he came. And every time he came to that house, he'll leave something, as I say. And I was like, is this paranormal activity? What's going on? Do I need an exorcist? That's when I started opening up with Mom, and Mom said, you know, and I was like, well, Mom, why did you stay with my dad? You know, you stayed with him. And she said, well, I'm not telling you to stay. She said, but I will tell you to do what's best for you. She said, that's your marriage. I can't tell you what to do, but I'm not telling you to stay. I said, well, why did you stay? She said, because you guys was young and I didn't want you to grow up without a dad. I said, but I grew up in a toxicity environment. I see you guys fight. I never heard you. I love you from you guys. I never seen you guys being affectionate. I always saw you guys was mad and angry. And she said, I didn't know that. I thought I was doing what's best for y'all by staying with your father, by keeping y'all together, because I thought I was doing what's best for the children. And she said, now I realize that what's best for the children is for you guys not to be in a toxicity environment. But it's too late for me, but it's not for you. So you did the right thing. She said, I want you to let them go. And I was like, okay. So that's when, of course, I already filed for divorce, but I was hesitant because I'm like, do I? Because I still loved him. It's like, well, why do I still love him? And she said, that's natural. She said, but I want you to proceed with it. And I was like, okay, I'm not telling you what to do, but I want you to, because I don't want you to be like me, you know, holding on to something for 16 years and fighting with that thought, like, did I do the right thing or did I not do it? So, yeah. So we had that talk and I never heard that from her. And she said, you know, I was angry at my own mama for staying with my daddy for doing the same thing. She said, but my mama told me, he's taking care of you. You're fed. He don't do this. He don't do that. You got a roof over your head, right? So go back to him. It's worse things that could be happening. And she said she never forgave her mom for that. And to be in the same situation her mom in, and now she has a daughter in the same situation. And I looked at her that day and I said, somebody got to stop it. Somebody got to stop this generation curse. And yeah. And I stopped it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said you moved to another city.
Yes.
Because you felt everybody was talking about you.
Yes.
You were ashamed.
Yes.
Of everything. Mm-hmm. And can you just tell us about that?
Yeah. So, after I found out about let's go back to the dream. So once I dreamed, I was praying for him and everything like that. Fast forward, he's in the military. So, he was about to leave and he wanted to see the children. This is 9 months while he was gone. He left. So it's about 9-10 months while he left. And he said, well, I'm about to go. Also, he's like, can I see the kids? Sure. You can come see the babies. And, he left his bag and he said, hold on, I forgot my other bag at the hotel. I was like, okay, cool. Well, 9 months in, I haven't seen him. I'm off out for divorce, so I'm about to be done. I don't care what you do, whatever the case may be. I was at peace with just like, we're not going to be together. We're co-parenting. I was just trying to wrap my head around like we're going to be co-parent. I was just at peace. And in my mind, I moved on, you know. And I went through his bag. He left the bag. And that's when I saw another phone, and on his screensaver was him and the new woman. And that's when I was like, oh, you got a whole woman, you know, and that's when I realized. And of course, I confronted him about it and all that emotion that I thought I let go, that I moved on from him, came back. And I was livid and I let out a cry so bad. And, I showed it to him. Of course, he lied and denied it. Oh, that's, you know, she wanted to do this. So what do you get this new phone? Why you got a new phone? Why, this is two phone. So he was living a double life. And that's when it came to reality. Like, here's your proof, you know. And of course, he lied. And
you used a word that if you were a witch, you would have put it.
If I was a witch, I would have put a curse on him and that girl. I was so angry. I was so bitter. I was like, Lord, I'm angry and I don't know how not to be angry. If you say a name close to his or to that girl name, if I was a witch, I'd catch a spell. Yes, I was bitter. I was bitter. I was angry because I'm like, why would you do this to me? I never did anything to you to hurt you in that matter of way. Why would you do that to me? Of course, the lies kept coming. And, yeah, so I packed up and I moved. He said, well, I have a job. No, he said, I have a job. And would you like to go? And I was like, sure. So we ended up moving there. And I told him, you stay back in Florida and I'm going to move. And that's how I started healing.
Mm-hmm. So you went with the children. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had to mm-hmm. get an apartment, mm-hmm. get a job. Mm-hmm. Really start a new life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, fast forward, mm-hmm. you know, you guys are still married,
mm-hmm, still married.
And you are happily married mm-hmm. this time.
Mm-hmm.
So in between, mm-hmm. you know, what happened? I mm-hmm. mean, number one, did you seek counseling? Does he mm-hmm. have a psychological condition? Did mm-hmm. the military do something to
mm-hmm.
him?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, how was that new stage of mm-hmm. living in a new place, mm-hmm. you really don't know anybody. Intentionally, mm-hmm. you wanted mm-hmm. that to be.
Yes.
And you had a new job. You're starting mm-hmm. a new life.
Mm-hmm. It came to be is because I had to first sit in my mess. I had to first heal on my own. I had to learn how to heal and learn that it's okay to not be okay. You know, a lot of people, you know, when we be hurt or something going on, we always say, how you doing? Oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. And some people don't know how to say, I'm not okay. And I had to learn to say, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. Not only to people, but to myself. I'm not okay. And so I learned how to just spend time with myself, spend time with God. We did start going to counseling, and our pastor counseled us and let him know what he did was wrong and let him know that he had a soul tied. And he was like, what is this? And while he was ministering to him, the wife was ministering to me because they went through the same thing. So she could relate. So she was ministering to me. She was like, you need to stop making him your God, as in putting him first in everything, you know, as in she said, I love my husband, but he's not my God. She said, you have to learn how to stop making him your God. This is my number one. Yes, he's your husband, but he's not your number one priority. She said, find you a hobby. You know, you won't have, she said, you can't stop him from doing anything he doesn't want to do. You know, cause me, I was trying to be proactive. Well, I'm going to catch him before he do it again. And I'm going to do this. She said, no, that's miserable. Find you a hobby. If he's going to do it, he's going to do it and leave. You know, don't stay this time because you're teaching him, you know, how to treat you. And I was like, okay, I got it. You're teaching him how to respect you. And you're also teaching him how to love you. And he's not loving you properly. He don't know how to love you. She said, looks like both of you guys don't know what love is. So we went to counseling, and counseling helped him, but it didn't help me because I was still bitter. I was angry. I couldn't let it go because it was 10 years of suffering. It was 10 years of pain. And you want me to let it go in 1 year? I couldn't do it.
And it was more of emotional.
It was more emotional pain.
And suffering.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It was more emotional pain. And he's just like, oh, let's get over it. Oh, it's done. And God did a work on him. And he did a mighty work on him. And we separated for a year. Let me put that out there. We was gone for a year. I was in this for a whole year. And he was in Florida. And God was doing a work on him, but I was getting bitter and angry by the moment. And I seen the work God was doing to him. He was changing. He was being more attentive to his children. He was loving himself more. He was, respectful towards me. And he was showing himself like, I'm about to go here. I'm about to go there. Leaving his phone around, just doing things out the normal to gain my trust. But I didn't trust him. And I was angry. And I kept throwing in his face of his past. You used to do this, and I remember, and that's even when I got back with him. Even when we got back together, I still was bitter towards him. And I remember him sending me down and said, you know, how I met God was through you. He said, because I grew up in a church, but the experience that you had with God, I wanted that experience. He said, don't let me take you far away from God because of what I did to you. And I was like, oh, and that was my moment. Like, oh my God. And he's like, so don't let me do this to you. He said, you have to love yourself more than that. He said, I know what I did was wrong, and I do apologize. There's nothing I can do to take that back. But you're going to have to let this go. You know, if you choose us to be back together, you have to let this go. And I'm like, you don't tell me what to do. You know, still angry. But God set me down, and he said, what you're trying to fix is the surface. This is an infrastructure. This is a generation thing going on. It's not what you think it is. It's more than what you think what it is. He said, but if you get out of my way, you know, if you stop trying to be God and stop trying to be me, I will show you. So instead of you trying to fix it, I created him. Let me fix him. So that's what happened. I just got out of God's way and started praying more and told God, you know, So when I get mad, when those thoughts start coming in my head, I say, God, that's your child. Fix him, you know, or teach me how to pray for him. And I had to learn how to pray for him. Instead of praying what I thought was good prayers, God said, I had to learn how to pray for my husband. And God also showed me how to be a wife. Yeah. How to be quiet when I need to be quiet. How to stop, you know, when you get angry, stop saying things, you know, hurtful things. Because that's not love. If you know what God is, you know, God is love. That's not how God do love. So why would you do that to your husband? If you keep throwing up what he used to do to you in your face because you're still angry and bitter, you shouldn't took him back. Why would you take him back to torture him like that?
In our upcoming episode, we talk more with Lillian and Charles. Thank you for listening to Coco Pod's podcast.